Sign up to the Avis Preferred Loyalty Program and get 10% off every car rental. It's completely free and the benefits are instant. Baby, I feel real good and I wish I would. Including priority service when you pick up your car. And exclusive partner offers. We've made car hire more rewarding. Sign up for free at avis.co.uk.
So, where do you see your future after uni?
My future? Well, I'm not really sure. I don't even think I want to continue with my degree subject, but I want to do something relevant, something with support, that's going to make a mark.
Have you thought about an ACA qualification? It's one of the most desired accountancy programmes in the world.
Yeah, that's just the thing I was looking for.
Open doors with us. We'll get you there. Search ICAEW.
So, welcome to day two of the Euros. Currently outside the Cologne Stadium, prior to Switzerland taking on Hungary. I got to tell you, Cologne really is a delightful city. So many bikes everywhere. I biked to the stadium today, the KVB, €3, whip out the phone, knock out the app, and away I went. Great ride as well through the city. Everybody's biking everywhere, and there are a lot of Swiss shirts, a lot of Swiss. Not so many Hungarians, a lot of Swiss. Of course, not too far for them to travel. Yeah, it's been great so far. I mean, last night was tremendous, except for getting caught in a rain on the way home. Yeah, disaster. Didn't really think of that one. As the game ended in a resounding 5-1 win for the hosts, the skies opened up, and the only thing I can assume, it was Scottish tears falling from the sky as they realised their European dreams, Euro dreams, were probably over, unless they can pull one out of the hat. But we'll have a good idea today if Scotland can make it further after watching Switzerland and Hungary play. More to come though. It's going to be a great day. The atmosphere is building slowly outside the stadium. It's a beautiful day. Sun is out. Lots of clouds though. Kind of feels very English actually. Probably about 65 degrees. Quite windy. You would be amazed though about the number of stewards and volunteers. I mean, it really is very, very impressive. You'd almost say there's a steward per fan. And they all look pretty serious as well. Getting into the press entrance, honestly, it's probably easier getting on an aeroplane. Full-on body cavity search. I'm curious to wonder what they think the press are bringing into the stadium. The media centre there, very pleasant. Little prefab building off to the right of the stadium. Nice sofas, fancy coffees, although you've got to pay for them. Not like the old days where media would get a free ride, free food, free drink. Mm-mm-mm. Although the media centre in Cologne next to the FanFest, well, some of you should come see that one. That's pretty fancy as well. And lots to eat and drink there. And incredibly, on the house. I guess that must be a Cologne host city kind of thing. But anyway, stand by. Looking to chat with some folks from the media. Hopefully get a couple of big names for you. And I'll be back closer to kickoff. Well, back in the media centre, I'm sure some of you have wondered, what does it take to become a pitch side photographer at these epic European events? Well, I just may have the answer. Stand by. Michael Hinler is about to tell us how to become a pitch side photographer. So when you're on the pitch, when you're down by the action, what's that like?
It's a really nice place to work. And yeah, you get all the atmosphere, and yeah, you're very close to the action, and that's also what you hope for, that you get the goals, that you get the goal celebration and the emotions from the players, from the fans, and so yeah, it's a really really good place to work.
How do you stay concentrated though? Because, well, you know, I'm looking at this Cologne Stadium. It's a fantastic stadium. The fans are so close to the action. Is it sometimes you get caught up in the action as well and you forget to do your job?
No. You're most of the time you're really focused. The only thing you have to care about is to send pictures out, and don't miss the action while you're sending some pictures, because we have to edit the pictures at the same time and then we take them.
So what is the key to being a great sports photographer, and especially a football photographer?
Oh, that's a good question. You need a lot of passion to do it, because for this job, you must like the sport. You have to understand the sport. You must love the sport you cover. And then it's a lot of traveling. You should used to travel a lot and to work at different times, far away from home.
What is the key to getting that great picture, that moment before a goal is scored, or the reaction of the players afterwards? What's the secret to that?
So sometimes you also need a bit of luck, because you never know on which side the goal will be scored, or in which direction the players are running. But I would say also if you do it a lot of time, you get more experience, and then you will increase. So, but that's, I would say it's 50% experience and 50% of luck.
How does it work? Are you assigned a goal to be behind, and can you say no, I want to go to the other goal, and do you change at half time, or are you fixed in that position for the entire game?
No, for this tournament, I will be always in a fixed seat, and we pick it online 2 days before the match. So we have an online tool, and then we have the map of the pitch, and yeah, we can select our position where we want to be, and that's then the position for the match, and there you have to stay.
Last question, and what is your favorite sports pitcher of all time?
Oh, that's difficult. I think I yet have to take it.
Okay, well, good luck for today.
Thank you.
Well, I'm pretty sure Michael enjoyed the game today. That was so much fun. The Swiss and the Hungarians really put on a great show, and I've got to thank the Swiss, actually, because the last time I was in this stadium and watched them play in 2006, it was an absolute stinker. This 3-1 win, though, certainly puts them in great position to get out of Group A. They've got Scotland next, and Scotland, wow, they've got some work to do. Back in the media centre, I've had the great honour to run into Clive Tilsley, a commentator that has so many iconic calls to his name, including perhaps one of the greatest ever for Manchester United. Back in 1999, United must score. United always score. Followed by Solskjaer's won it for United. Here's Clive. Great stuff. So, Clive, many of my listeners would love to be a play-by-play announcer. How do you do it?
Oh, if I had to think about how I did it, I wouldn't be able to do it. It's all I can do. I can't do any DIY at all. I don't garden. It's all I ever wanted to do. It's probably all I can do. It's good that somebody gave me the opportunity to do it. I mean, how do you do it? You've got to want to do it. There are a lot of people that want to do it, so you've got to be competitive in that particular job marketplace. By all means, identify the people that you think do it well. My commentating hero was Pat Summerall, the late Pat Summerall on NBC's Monday Night Football. But don't copy them. Bring yourself to the party. And then just think about your audience more than anything. Serve your audience. Don't commentate for yourself. Commentate for the people you're serving.
So tell me about your big break. How did it happen? When did it happen? And did you realise it was happening at the time?
It was the late 17th century. I was fresh out.
That was me.
The first break's the biggest break. particularly in media. I completed my university degree in 1975 and in Nottingham. And as I was finishing, there was a brand new radio station opening, which took on three kind of runners, T-boys, T-girls. And I got one of those jobs. Once I got my foot in the door, they weren't getting me out. I did a late night rock show for a little while, but I always volunteering for any football jobs because this is what I wanted to do. And yeah, 18 months there. And then I got to move to Liverpool at a time when Liverpool and then Everton were the best two football teams, in the certainly in the UK, maybe in Europe. And I was the same age as the players. You know, they became my mates. And there were halcyon days, wonderful days, learning days, but very happy days. And yeah, just try to keep improving, keep listening to yourself back and keep trying to improve.
What is it about football that makes it such a fascinating game and the longevity of the sport? I mean, it just keeps going and going and going.
Well, it has a continuity that some of perhaps the major sports in the US don't have, which is fine. I mean, there's a structure which suits US TV networks, because you know when the game's going to stop, you know when you can sell people things. Particularly now, in the last few years, it's not unusual to see 6, 7, 8, 9 minutes.
A global attack has begun. Mexico City, Tokyo, London, and countless more have been invaded.
A quiet place, day one. If we stay here, we die. Discover.
They're attracted to sound.
Why our world.
We have to get out of the city.
Went quiet. Quiet Place Day 1 in cinemas June 27. Available in 4DX and IMAX. Book tickets now.
This is a paid advertisement by BetterHelp.
We are Chris and Rosie, the hosts of Shagged, Married, Annoyed. And if you've ever listened to our podcast, you might know that we're fans of therapy. So we don't lose sight of how to take care of ourselves.
Online shopping.
No, Rosie, would you?
Okay, all right. When add to cart is no longer your choice for inner peace, I get it. We highly recommend therapy to learn things like coping with stress or navigating grief.
Yes, and we are big fans of BetterHelp online therapy. We have been for a few years now. And with nearly 5,000 therapists in the UK, they can get you matched easily. And you can be on your way to
telling your therapist about your latest purchase.
You can be on your way to feeling better in life.
For 10% off your first month of online therapy, visit betterhelp.com. That's betterhelp.com.
Hi all.
How are we doing?
Afternoon.
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 Let's get this meeting.
Meeting.
Meeting started.
Hi.
Hi, Mom.
Where's the tablet gone?
When everyone's home, EE Work Mode prioritizes your broadband for working from home with faster speeds in more places than anyone else. So,
Yeah, I've got you loud and clear. Clear as a bell.
This is broadband made for working from home. Search EE Broadband, powered by BT.
Work Mode with EE Smart Hub Plus. To verify, see ee.co.uk/claims.
Added to a half of football, which leaves television executives screaming. But, yeah, there is a continuity about it. I mean, it's surprising when you see the stats how little the ball is actually in play. You know, it's only kind of two-thirds of the time. But that continuity brings an unpredictability about it. It's a low-scoring sport. You know, two's enough, three's a lot, four's incredible. And again, that's unusual, really, in terms of the mainstream team sports of the world. And the whole world plays it. I mean, it is the number one sport in so many nations around the world. And so that brings a communion with it, where inevitably when you're on a holiday and you're backpacking somewhere and you bump into somebody in the outback of Australia, the first question you ask them is, who do you support?
You've covered international football. I'm not going to say for how long, because you still look a very young man. How has the game changed?
I think by any sport that you can measure as advanced. So I do despair of people of my age suggesting football's not what it was. It's not what it was, but that doesn't mean it's worse. It's different. And everything, you know, during my sort of lifetime has changed. And football's evolved. It is a hugely successful sport. And so therefore, the professional elite level, there is an awful lot of money in it. Which is good, because it gives it a glamour and a kind of a luster, which perhaps is why we're all addicted to the game. But you know, money brings warts and all, and it's sometimes difficult to manage the amounts of money and keep the game as pure and as basic as you'd like it to be. But it's still a sport where, as long as you've got something round or even a tin can, you can put a couple of T-shirts down and play a game of football. And that simplicity, I think, makes it very, very accessible. And in that sense, it's never changed.
And when you're a commentator looking at a game, what are the things you're looking for? Are you looking to move the ball? Are you looking to tell a story? What are you hoping to give to the viewer?
What they want. I mean, in many ways, commentating to... I mean, I've been fortunate enough to commentate on England games at tournaments to network audiences of, well, close on 30 million, which is nearly everybody in the UK. But then, obviously, I've commentated on games to hundreds of thousands. And that audience is different from the massive sort of primetime audience. There are lots of people watching those England games who won't watch any other football. My great mentor often said there's an argument for explaining the offside law when the audience is over 20 million, because you don't want to leave people behind. You don't want to talk over their heads. There's nothing worse than doing that. So again, all we're doing is serving an audience, and you've got to identify that audience, work out what they want from you, and try to reflect the game in that way. I'm doing quite a lot of commentary now for an American audience through CBS and Champions League. And again, you just got to think it through. All the distances are in yards, all the transfer fees are in dollars. If you can relate to something that's happening in NBA or NFL, then you are being more inclusive, which is what we need to be. You're still calling essentially the football match that you're looking at, the soccer game that you're looking at, but you are recognising that your audience is a different one from the one that I've commentated to today here in the UK.
Not to embarrass you, but what's it like making an iconic call that stands the test of time?
No idea. It's nice to be a little part of people's recollections, but I don't score the goals. I mean, I can't. You can only work with the material that you're given. I mean, the games to the big audiences that I was fortunate enough to commentate that were dramatic enough to remain in people's memories are down to the goals that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer scored and Steven Gerrard scored and Didier Drogba scored, not because of anything that I said. I can't do it without them. They're the talents. I'm the broadcast journalist who's... Again, my mentor used to say, you need to come up with tomorrow morning's back page headline within seconds. You need amazing, incredible, unbelievable is not enough. You need to editorialise that moment and give it something that's distinctive and belongs, because every moment in football is different from the last or the next. So that's the challenge. How often do I do it? Not very often.
In that moment, do you realise you've done something special?
Oh, not at all. No, you're concentrating. And it's nothing that special. The moment is special. You're a small part of it, that's all.
So I have to ask, that the call. United always score.
So long ago. It's 25 years ago.
And it's still... raises
it's
hairs on people's necks.
Well, it's the moment that raises the hairs, yeah. I mean, I've no idea why I said what I said. I know why I said some of the things I said, but I've no idea why I said they always scored. They didn't always score. They played at Blackburn at Ewood Park about 10 days earlier and didn't score. It finished 0-0. It was a lie. It was a total lie, everybody. Don't believe it. Next time you hear it, remember they didn't score just 10 days earlier.
England come into this tournament somewhat favourites, which is, I think, something new in our lifetimes. Do you think they can justify that tag?
They do justify that tag, but favourites don't always win the race. So they're genuine contenders. No question about that, for all kinds of reasons. But they've got to produce, and they know it. I know the manager very, very well, and he knows it. He knows that there's a fantastic opportunity. He knows that the scrutiny that comes with that, I don't like the word pressure, the scrutiny, jeopardy, whatever you want to call it, the expectation. So he won't kick a ball. You know, it's down to the performers to produce. They're capable. And there are a couple of holes in the squad, as there are in every international squad. International coach can't go out and buy a left back if Luke Shaw's not going to make it. You've got to play somebody else. So, you know, there are flaws in the squad, but there are some wonderful strengths. And, yeah, I think there's a good feeling and a good chance.
And you did say, I was overhearing your conversation, there's a chance that maybe you're going to come to America for the World Cup. How do you think that World Cup's going to be received?
It's a long way away, and I don't know. Honestly, if you saw the number of tablets I took every morning, you'd wonder whether I'm going to make it to the next round of this competition, let alone the next World Cup. But it's an important time for soccer in the US. Copa America is very big this summer. If the World Club Cup happens, I think it probably will in some shape or form, then again, that will be a second successive summer of high-level world star football. You've got Lionel Messi playing there every week of the season already. And then, obviously, the World Cup finals are the old... I covered the 94 World Cup. The stadium were full, but there was no sign of the World Cup if you travelled a mile away from the stadium. When you landed at LAX, there was no signage, nothing to suggest that the USA was staging the World Cup finals. That's got to be different. The nation has got to embrace the tournament and not just fill various stadia in various corners of the country. And if they do that, and particularly if the USA can put together a challenging team, then you'll have as much fun as you do with Super Bowl or any event.
So, back at the Cologne Media Centre by the FanFest, just put Spain and Croatia to bed. What a performance by the Spaniards, huh? Croatia, are they a little long in the tooth? We say that about them every single time, and yet they end up in the semi-finals. But Spain certainly throwing down a marker, and then later tonight, Italy and Albania. Got to fancy the holders in that one. And tomorrow, I'm off to Gelsenkirchen, a little team called England taking on Serbia. It's already been designated a high-risk game. Supposedly 500 hardcore Serbian loonies are coming to cause a little bit of bother. And I would imagine there's got to be at least another 10,000 English loonies who will be well up for it. So tomorrow should be a little bit tasty. But I want to focus really on what happened today. So thanks for joining me on day two of this European experience. It's been another great day, really. The atmosphere at the Cologne Stadium. If ever you get a chance, please come to the Cologne Stadium. It is a proper, proper theatre for football. Four massive bank sides, and without a doubt, the loudest stadium I think I've ever been in. Can't wait for next week when England come to town. So that's that for today, and I'll be back tomorrow with more from Inside Euro 2024. And don't forget, try and find me on Instagram, X, where I'm at Nick Webster. Instagram is Footy Stud, as is TikTok. And I think you can also find Inside World Football on Facebook. So check that out. And yeah, I'll be back tomorrow. Bye for now.
Do you hear that? It might sound like nothing to you, but it's actually the sound of nuclear, wind, and solar energy. At EDF, we're busy generating more British zero carbon electricity than anyone to help keep future energy costs down for everyone and help cut UK carbon emissions to nothing. Sound good to you? Find out more about our zero carbon generation at edfenergy.com/helpingbritain.
You're not in business unless you're online. And you're not serious about being online unless you're with IONOS. They offer fast and flexible hosting, servers and cloud solutions for small and medium-sized businesses. IONOS is innovative, offering AI solutions such as website creation from scratch using just a few keywords, saving you time so you can focus on more important things. With their sustainable data center in Worcester, your digital growth and sustainability go hand in hand. Get started today at ionos.co.uk.
Oh, not near the house, please.
Come on, up the other end of the garden.
It's fine, Mum!
Oh, it's gone straight through the kitchen window.
We'll get someone out to replace that for you. Don't worry.
With DirectLine's accidental damage cover added to your home insurance, whether you've smashed your window or spilt wine on your carpet, we'll get you from problem to solution as quickly as possible. DirectLine, we're on it.
Excess applies. Home insurance underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
All eyes on Germany this summer.
Come on, England! Come on, the town army!
I fancy us to win it this year, you know.
Yeah, we'll never hear the end of it if they do.
Sign up to Betfred Online this summer and get £50 in free bets when you stake £10.
In a big tournament, I like backing first goal scorer.
I love a knacker,
but nothing better than a free bet.
Love football?
Betfred!
New online customers only. £5, £10 free bets. Offer ends 14th of July. Odds restrictions and initial stake. T&Cs apply. 18+ for gambleaware.org.